very open. Windbar. Well, what a kick. It's a goal.
Look at him go, Mr. Magic. Has kicked the most unbelievable goal you have ever seen in a month of Sunday.
Hello, 90s footy fans. Welcome to episode 55 of the 90s Club Footy Podcast. This week, we chat with former Fitzroy, Brisbane Bear and Brisbane Lion player, Scott McIver. Scott, a Queensland football product, commenced his league career with Fitzroy in 1985. He spent three seasons with the Lions, playing 55 games, which also included a best and fairest win in 1987. He then joined the Brisbane Bears in 1988, playing 145 games over 10 seasons, which also included one season with the amalgamated team, the Brisbane Lions. In this episode, Scott talks about his beginning with Fitzroy, why he returned to Queensland and joined the Bears, the initial years of the Bears being based on the Gold Coast, playing alongside Roger Merritt and Warwick Capper, playing in the Bears' first finals game, and being an assistant during the Lions' successful period. I hope you enjoy the 55th member of the 90s Club Footy Podcast, Scott McIver. Scott McIver, thank you for joining me on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Looking forward to reminiscing on your journey with both the Fitzroy Lions and the Brisbane Bears / Lions, which was quite a few years ago.
Mate, this is quite a few years ago. It's funny how time really does get away, but 90s, I was trying to do the maths a little bit earlier. We're talking 30 years ago, and I think I finished at the end of 97 or 98. So, it's a long time.
Now, mate, before we get into all our footy talk, and I'm looking forward to sort of looking at both the journey in Victoria, but also up in Queensland as well, what are you doing with yourself at the moment, and do you still have any sort of footy involvement?
Last question first. My son, I've got six kids. My oldest son, Liam, doesn't play any longer. He's 28. And my middle son, Sonny, he's 15, just turned 15 2 days ago, and he plays. And my youngest son, Joe, who's just turned 11, he's going to play his first year. He's played basketball mostly, and he's going to play footy this year. So that's the level of my involvement nowadays. Head taxi driver. My daughter plays hockey. One of my daughters plays hockey. The other one's now got a license. So yeah, mate, it's a full on job with kids, getting them to make sure, you know, if you want them involved in sport, man, it's a full on commitment. First question, I'm a builder. I've been in the construction industry. I left school at 15, started in the construction industry as a plasterer. I did a fibrous plastering apprenticeship and finished that when I went to Melbourne. I did my final year in Melbourne at 19 and pretty much did that throughout my playing career. I actually worked for Boral Plasterboard for a while I was playing, and then, you know, moved into building, studied while I was still playing, and got my license, and been doing that ever since, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'd hate to see what your petrol bill is like there, mate, if you're the head taxi driver. You'd be going through a few litres, I reckon, a week.
Oh, yeah, mate. It's not good at $2.15 or whatever it is for diesel, mate, I can tell you. It's pretty brutal.
Hey, I'm really interested. You're a native Queenslander. How did your VFL journey commence with Fitzroy back in the mid-80s? How did you get down to Fitzroy?
My dad had a fairly large extended family. My father had four siblings, and his brother and him played AFL. They played basketball, a lot of different sports, but AFL and basketball were their main sports. And of course, there, my family extended, you know, as it does in those days, with you know, my dad's sisters met people that he played footy with, and they married, blah, blah, blah. So there was this large contingent of my extended family, all my cousins, all played football. And we all played football at the same club. And there was probably seven or eight of us. So, you know, it was really entrenched in the family. And I played right up until senior level here. So there was like, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 years as a junior, and then into the senior club, and played a couple of years, and then got recruited, you know, on the old Form 4 by Fitzroy, and that's how I ended up in Melbourne. It was originally I was recruited by Claremont. My brother and I were both recruited to play at Claremont, and then Fitzroy came along and sort of said, "Look, we can get you down here," and so that's how it ended up.
Your second and third seasons, you were quite strong. I was looking at your stats and, you know, the games played and so forth, and you were runner-up in the best and fairest in 86, and then you won it in 87. What was it that made you adapt to the level so quickly? Like, obviously, you played 5 games your first year, and then you just sort of adapted really nicely in years 2 and 3.
Well, played 11, actually, mate, my first year.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, mate, get those stats right. I played 2 years of senior footy up here. I was really lucky. There was an old club legend up here by the name of Barry Clark, who came from Rosebud, Victoria. And when I was playing under 14s here in the old days, which it's gone back to it this way now, you go under 14s, under 15s, and then the under 17s was a jump up into the senior club. And at 14, he came, you know, and said, "Hey, look, I think you should be playing under 17s. So I went up to under 17s as a 15-year-old, and that went pretty well. And then the second year in under 17s, I went up into seniors. I think I played my first senior game maybe 16. And then I got recruited into the, which was the state team in those days. Norm Dare, another Fitzroy man, Dare, he was coach. And that's sort of, you know, the following year with that, because the Queensland team had won what was the Escort Shield, they were, they played, and Jason Dunstall played in that as well. Jason and I played in those games. They played two pre-season games, and we played Collingwood and St Kilda. And I played in both of those and played okay. And then that was it, really. After that, you know, there was a bit of talk with different clubs during the year. We played state games through the year, and you know, there was always contact with clubs. And then the end of the following year, I'd signed to play at Claremont. And interestingly enough, Parker, I always like to, you know, tell him this whenever I get the chance to talk to him. At the end of 1984, 85, I was going to Claremont, and there was talk that I was going to go, and the Claremont officials, because Carlton had a fairly strong affiliation with Carlton at that stage, and Parko rang me up at home out of the blue in my home in Evelyn Street in the Grange. I got this ball. Oh, Scott, it's David Parker here. I'm thinking, of course, straight away, it's got to be one of my mates. This is ridiculous, yeah. You know? Yeah. And he said, "Oh, look, mate, I think the best thing for your footy is you go to Perth. You know, your development will be much better, blah, blah, blah." And I listened to him and said, "Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate your opinions, but I'm going to Melbourne." And and of course, he came to Fitzroy and he said, "You're right." And I said, "I know I was right." That's how I ended up in Melbourne.
Yeah, a couple of great years there, mate. And I guess it was only short-lived, you know, because you went back to Brisbane in 88. But before we get into the Brisbane Bears discussion, we know Fitzroy had some really big off-field battles, you know, financially and so forth for a number of years, but they were quite competitive during that mid-80s. And I've spoken to Richard Osborne and a few others from Fitzroy that were part of those teams that, you know, playing in a prelim final in 86 and so forth. What's was it like there for you for those 3 seasons? What was the experience like for you?
Well, my first contact with another player was I walked into the Junction Oval. Arthur Wilson sort of, you know, got me to training and said, "Look, just sit here and wait here and I'll be back in a little while." And Ross Lyon came in. And Ross, so he was the first person I met. And he came in and he said, "I'll come into the gym." And I said, "Oh, no, you know, I was really nervous. Oh, no, I was a little bit embarrassed too." And he said, "Okay, I'll take you in and mention." I said, "Oh, no, Arthur said, you know, just I should wait here. And he said, look, mate, I'll take you. And he goes, don't worry. He said, I'll never forget these words. He said, I'm just a peasant too. And of course, you know, he was much more than a peasant. But anyway, so he dragged me into the gym and, you know, I just started to meet everybody. And look, the thing about the club, and that it was really quite a painful separation in the end, because I mean, I just loved playing there. I loved the club. I loved the players. Loved the supporters, you know, and, you know, trainers. Everybody was just, you know, it was just such a fantastic environment. Unfortunately, as you said, the off-field issues were fairly substantial. And at the end, it's funny, I haven't spoken about this in 20 years, and I caught up with Leon Harris at the beginning of the year. We caught up for a drink, and I said to him, I said, when I left, I didn't want to leave, you know, but there was no, I was out of contract, and they hadn't offered me a contract. They hadn't offered to extend. And look, in hindsight, as a 20-year-old, you're sort of thinking, well, you know, they don't want me. There'd been no discussions with the club, and I didn't have a manager. And I'd sort of broached the subject a couple of times, and it never really got anywhere. And looking back, of course, they had so many other things to worry about. You know, they were trying to actually pay the bills, keep the doors open. So, you know, some pesky kid from Queensland wasn't all that much of an issue for them at the time. So I was sort of left with nowhere really to go. And the thing that I suppose I was concerned about the most, because I lived with Purdy in those days, and, you know, there was he had a manager, and him and Roosie were all fairly close, and there was a lot of talk going on with them, and I'm sort of thinking, well, I could end up anywhere. You know, and that was probably my biggest concern, is that I had no control of where I'd been. And I thought, well, the best thing for me to do is go home.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So, I mean, I probably should have had a manager. That would have been the smart thing to do. But again, it is what it is, you know.
I'm surprised that they hadn't spoken to you about re-signing or anything, because obviously you've come off a best and fairest year, and yeah, you look at your numbers and so forth. I was going through your stats there the other night. I'm thinking, geez, what a great year you had and so forth. Like, best and fairest. Mm. Maybe was it they're thinking perhaps that, you know, you might have been costing a little bit too much to pay. Because obviously, you know, coming off a best and fairest, you might be demanding a little bit more. I don't know.
Well, I say to people, I grossed $6,000 when I won the best and fairest. So I don't think they were concerned about my pay packet. As I said, I wish I had a manager when I signed a contract come from Brisbane. But, I mean, all I wanted to do was play. You know, my thoughts were prove that you can play and then you'll get, you know, you'll get paid accordingly, which is pretty stupid, you know. But look, I don't think there was just too much going on. And I think at the end of the day, it was a commercial decision from their perspective, whether it was more subconscious than anything, that they needed an injection of cash. They knew they were going to get an injection of cash if I left. And that probably helped for some period of time. And, you know, I mean, the realities are that we're all just commodities, I suppose. It was difficult because, as I said, I was in Melbourne. I didn't have family there, and I didn't have any management, and it was just one of those decisions that was reached sort of almost subconsciously from my point of view, because I thought, well, I've always been a bit of a planner, you know, I want to know where I'm going, what I'm doing. And for me, it was, well, yeah, I've just got to look to where I'm going to get, I wanted to be in control of my destiny, and that was, you know, Brisbane at that stage. And you know, truth be told, that was another stupid decision. I was 5 years too early, probably, you know. Anyway, life goes on.
I want to move on to the Bears. What was early life like at the Brisbane Bears? Obviously, you were there for year number two. Their first year was 87, but you were there in 88 for the first your first season. What were the initial days like at the Bears?
It was strange. I mean, it was interesting in that you had a lot of guys that had come and a lot of guys that were at the back end of their careers, but you know, they were by no means, you know, finished. You know, I mean, there were some great guys there, Mark Williams, Jeff Range, you know, guys outstanding careers. And I learned a hell of a lot from playing with them. But I also learned, and I sort of had an inkling of this at Fitzroy, is that you can't be competitive on the field unless your operation off the field, matches that. And so, unfortunately, with Fitzroy, we didn't have that for financial circumstances. There's certainly the intent of the people in the office was incredible, and the work they put in. But unfortunately, it was never in, getting ahead of the pack. It was always trying to just gain ground, because you were coming from so far back. And Brisbane, whilst they were given some concessions early on, they weren't great concessions. I don't really think they helped. And I think Carrara was a monumental mistake. I still think the Gold Coast is probably not the place for a football team. Yep. But look, 90 was fantastic. There's a little bit of turmoil there once he left, but then, of course, Wolsey stepped into the breach and he was fantastic. And to think that we got to a final, and in that year when we made the finals, our last, if you look at back on that, in the last probably 6 or 7 weeks of the season, we were probably one of the better teams in the competition, So we'd recruited really well. Like a lot of people, I mean, Scotty Clayton was involved in those days, but it was Kinnear Beetson who was fantastic. But, I mean, Wolsey doesn't get anywhere near enough credit for the people that he brought to the club. Obviously, Vossi got there, Chris Scott, Sean Hart, Craig McRae, I mean, Justin Lepich, all these guys, I mean, they all filtered into the club when Wolsey was coach, And I remember having a conversation with him about Nathan Buckley and before Nathan came to the club, and his position was, mate, if he's not coming in, he's not going anywhere. That's it, And I just admire – the thing that he did was he – because he's just such a competitive person, his background is just it's just incredible. His playing career and coaching career, and he just set a new standard for the club that just said, look, no one gives you anything in this competition. And he tried to get the powers that be that ran the club to understand that, and he butted head with them quite a bit. But the Buckley issue was the line in the sand moment for the club and all those other young guys that got there in those years, they realised purely from his what he gave them and what he taught them was that you have to take everything. No one's going to give you anything in this competition. And I think that's played out incredibly well for the club. I mean, Lee came in and did a fantastic job, but, a lot of the groundwork was done. And, it's been another premiership would be nice. I think it's been a little while. We could do with another one. It was a great turnaround.
Absolutely. Now, I don't want to dwell on the off-field stuff, but I'm going to ask you one more question because I want to talk about you and your on-field antics and so forth. But there wasn't a lot of wins in those early years, I guess, when you went up to the Brisbane Bears and so forth. Mm. How well was AFL footy accepted up in Queensland? And I guess, second to that, you sort of mentioned before about Carrara not being the right destination for locating a footy side early on. Do you reckon that had a big effect on, maybe the support and appreciation of AFL and I guess what is commonly known as rugby league heartland?
Yeah. Well, look, this is the interesting thing. The Gold Coast was constantly a destination for Victorians, right? Understandably. So there was a fairly strong supporter base on the Gold Coast for the team. Just wasn't enough people. That's the bottom line. I think in those days it might have been, I think there's 600,000 there now. There might have been 200, maybe 300,000 people there. But, of course, the primary thing is there's a lot of distractions on the Gold Coast, a lot of really, really good underage players there, incredibly sporty, and both that's from the background, their parentage, a lot of Victorians moving up there. But also, it's just so many things. They're all into surfing. They're all into the beach. They're all into activity. So there's a great recruiting ground there, but too many distractions, I think, to have I think it would have been great to play probably four or five or six games at Carrara and five or six games in Brisbane. You know, like that would have been the that would have been the ideal formula. But, you know, for whatever the reasons, decisions were made to not go that way. And so that I think that held the club back. It certainly held the club back financially, and it certainly held the club back from getting developing a strong base in both areas.
Ball stops, Gowers with the shepherd. Leppin's left footer up towards full forward again. The mark is taken by McIver. McIver kicks and he goals. First blood to the Bears.
I want to go on to the on-field now, mate. We can talk all the politics and so forth, but I want to talk about the on-field. Early days, we know you come as a midfielder and your numbers were good at Fitzroy and so forth. Then you got the chance to, you know, kick to a couple of nice forwards in the forward line and the Wiz, Warwick Kappa and big Roger Merritt. That must have been great, knowing that you've got a couple of real capable forwards to kick some footy to.
Yeah. Roger was terrific. Roger and I had a really close relationship for, I'll never forget the night that we went, we both went to AFL House to have our clearances heard together. And, you know, Roger's just a ripper. You know, he's just a great bloke, and he was a really calming influence during those early days, and of course just set an unbelievable standard. And I really enjoyed my time playing with him, and he was like my go to guy. You know, whenever I got the ball, you'd look forward and you'd look for the big mustache, and you just knew he's just so incredibly honest in the way he applied himself. But people laugh about, you know, sort of have a bit of a laugh about. I mean, he's an incredible player, Warwick. He was so good athletically. He was such a good mark. You know, people don't realise he wasn't a great kick from anything, you know, of any distance, but he was pretty accurate. And he was, it would have been a nightmare to play on because, you know, he was such an incredible athlete and he would do things on the ground that would make you just sit up and go, like, you know, like on the ground, at ground level, like cat-like, you know. But yeah, then you know, he'd open his mouth and say something that just would make you laugh. And I really liked Warwick. He was a great fella, and he was entertaining. You know, he was entertaining for the fans, but also for everyone. You know, he's great. He was great for footy. So
yeah, it would have been some fun times in the locker room and outside of the footy oval and stuff. Probably a lot of stories you could share. That would be, you know, banked up, no doubt.
Yeah. I remember Purdy saying to me once, he said, you know, footy, he said, you could write a book about it. He said, the only problem is you just couldn't let anyone read it.
Now, you spoke about the 95 season. That was the first year you guys made finals. But before we get into, you know, playing finals and what that means to you, because you'd been around the traps for a little while.
Yeah.
One of the best matches, and I can remember this match, was that big come from behind win against the Hawks. I reckon it might have been 5 or 6 weeks before the finals
we're
getting played. You were trailing by 45 points at three-quarter time. Then you banged on 9 goals to 1 in that last term to beat the Hawks by 7. That must have been a real memorable game for you, but also, too, a nice way to sort of start that charge into, you know, playing some nice footy heading into the finals.
Well, I can tell you what's really, really memorable about it for me. In that last quarter, I was on the bench. Because I'd missed a couple of games, I think, with injury, and I was sort of, you know, they were easing me back in, you know, they were managing me. And I think they were managing me again. I was keeping him on the bench, get him away, keep him on the bench. And so, but no, it was, you're right. I mean, it was one of those games, and I think that might have been one of the games where Roger left an indelible mark on a few different people, you know, in the brown and gold that day. And but yeah, it was an amazing game. And look, it was one of those things that nice to be a spectator for it, as it was in that last quarter. I mean, you know, we'd played some good footy, and we were building. Everyone got the sense that we were building, and to see them play the way they played and you know, execute, do all those things, and to look out and go, see, you're Chris Scott, you're all these guys just starting to really develop, and it was a great moment. It was, as you say, it was a milestone moment for the club, for sure.
And then a few weeks later, you played your first finals. That must have been a real pleasing day for you, because you're, I guess, one of the not a foundation player from 87, but you'd been there since 88, and probably not a lot of other players would follow that track with you. There's a lot of new and fresh blood. So for you being one of the older, experienced players, to play a final, that must have been a real moment for you.
I remember my first final, I only played four. My first final, we walked onto VFL Park, and I was, you know, a bit toey. And Scotty Clayton came and grabbed me and just turned me around and said, look up at the crowd, he said, that's what you play for, mate. You know, I'll never forget it. And I remember going into that week, talking to some of the younger guys like Nige and Chris and McRae, these guys, and just saying, look, it's a pivotal moment for you, you know. I said, but be excited. You know, there's a lot of energy around it, but be excited about the opportunity that you're getting. Because it was, I said, you know, sometimes it mightn't come back. You mightn't get another one. Of course, stupid thing to say to all them, you know. Like, it was pretty special, and the road in was pretty special as well. You know, like those few weeks where we were able to beat teams above us and just, you know, claw our way into that last spot. And it was a lot of fun. And they're the things that. I think stick with me the most. You know, obviously I didn't get to play in the great years at Brisbane, but sort of helping put that foundation in place and seeing those guys that I played with and then getting to sort of coach as an assistant and sharing it with them sort of indirectly, you know, seeing those guys really, fulfill their potentials, you know.
Did you have a feeling that from 95 onwards there was something special about this group and, you know, and they were capable of achieving what you've just described?
Without a doubt. Like there were just, you know, a lot of really great guys that came into the club that good character, you know, and a tight bond, you know. And unfortunately, when Wolsey left, they lost their way a bit, you know. I think they made a couple of poor decisions until Lee's arrival, and that was opportunity lost, you know, to continue that build. But what it did, I think, was that when Woolsey left, that for those guys to sort of be still around the mark, really helped develop their character, get those games into them. So when Lee arrived, and you know, all the things were put in place to help them fulfil their potential, you know. So, yeah, it was frustrating to see that we lost our way a bit there, but without a doubt, in my mind, and that was part of the reason that I was so keen to try and, you know, get involved to coach, because whilst I hadn't really had any aspirations to coach myself, the development side of things always has been an interest, you know, I was not surprised, because I was well aware of what their potential was. You know, there were some great kids there.
A couple of questions before I'll give you a couple of real quick handballs. Merger. How did you feel about the merger when that all occurred? Because I guess it sort of came out of nowhere, didn't it? You know, like, you know, it was, I guess, highly touted with North Melbourne. And then, you know, how did you feel about the merger when it occurred?
Well, I felt it was 10 years too late when it occurred. You know, going back to 86, you know, and thinking about, well, you know, we needed something to happen for the club to, you know, to prosper. And so I was really pleased. And for me also, I was really pleased it was Fitzroy, because, you know, I had a connection there with so many people. Like, I mean, one of my strongest connections was Kevin Elms, who ended up being head trainer, like Elmsy and, you know, it's just Arthur Wilson, all those people. But, you know, just people that you'd sort of, you just loved so much when you were in Melbourne, to reconnect with them all at that level was just brilliant, you know. And to see so many long-time supporters, the ones that have been, you know, bagging me when I left, now sort of, you know, going
back on the bandwagon.
That's back on the bandwagon, exactly. So I think the merger was unfortunate for Fitzroy, you know. Unfortunately, for whatever the reasons, it was a I think it, the process was dragged out for all the right reasons. You know, everyone trying to keep the club in Melbourne, do that, do all that. So all the right reasons. I mean, you can't be critical of any of those things, but it was a drawn out process. And so I was pleased with the merger, and I was pleased on many levels because I thought we needed a VFL identity, I thought, as a Brisbane club. You know, we needed that affiliation. And of course, for Fitzroy, it was, I won't say it was great because, you know, they lost their identity, which, you know, to be truthful, their identity was more important than ours purely because, you know, it was 100 and something years of identity, you know. So, but I think, you know, what's come out of it has been great.
Absolutely. And, you know, proof in the pudding, 3 premierships and multiple finals. Yeah. And it's been I think, you know, looking long-term now, it's been a very pivotal thing that's happened and put Brisbane probably more on the map with their footy than if it had occurred. Yeah.
Yeah. And that Fitzroy identity that people relate to is still really critical, you know, to Brisbane's identity.
Yeah. And it gives them that, so I guess, that little bit of connections to, you know, like that connection that Fitzroy is still emerging around, probably not to the extent of what it was once, but it's got that Fitzroy sort of feel to a certain degree. Hey, Scott, we're at the end of the podcast. And, mate, what I do with my guests, I give them some quick handball questions. So these are sort of just one-worded or a couple of short phrases to answer these questions. And the first thing I usually do is I'll give you 5 names of teammates that you play with. I love a word or a short phrase to describe these guys and your interactions with them and so forth.
Yeah.
So I'll start with the Brisbane Bears. Big Alex Ischenko.
Mate, I'm trying to think of something that I could say. Impressive.
Johnny Gastev.
Legend.
Michael Voss.
Incredible.
I'm going to go for back a little bit to one of the number one draft picks, Martin Leslie.
Hardest ever, without a doubt.
And another one of my favourite midfielders back watching you guys in the Bears days was Craig Lambert.
A ferret. I've just never seen a bloke that's able to tunnel in somewhere and come out with the ball. He's just incredible.
Hardest opponent you come across during your time, VFL, AFL?
Oh, Ablett.
Did you play on Ablett, did you?
Quite a few times, yeah. My 11th game of the year at Fitzroy was I played fullback on him, and he had 4 at the 20-minute mark of the first quarter. And I remember trying to do the maths and thinking, well, he could kick 24 or 25 here. and he finished with 5. And I played on Gary a couple of times and different, you know, I played on him up here. I played on him at Cadinia Park. He was tough.
Special player, that's for sure, Gaz.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest pregame superstition you've witnessed from a teammate during your time? Was there anyone that had a real weird superstition that you can remember? I know it's a bit of a different question, but I thought it'd be...
No. I had some guys, and there's a couple of different ones, that always wore the same underpants, right? Would always, and you'd see them getting changed before the game, and they'd be like threadbare with holes in them, you know, and they just had to wear the same pair of jocks. And you think, man, that's bizarre. One of the weirdest things, there's a couple of classics, though, pre-game things that I always think about, was one, we played Port Adelaide at a game, and I'm not sure if it was a practice match or the first game of the year. We played Port Adelaide at VFL Park. We're walking down the right in the tunnels, right? And we're just about to walk out on the ground, and Lynchy yells out from the back, "Come on, boys, we are these blokes." and 20 heads all turn around and look back up the race. He's standing up with a big smile on his face. So no one had ever played him before. So that was a classic. And another one was, I had a coach, and I won't name him, said before a game, we were just about to run out, and he said, "The leopard doesn't change his stripes." And everyone's standing in the Well, we couldn't think of anything else other than standing in the rain. It was just about running out and going, what was that all about? You know, like, so it's funny. The things that stand out the most to me, obviously I love playing and I love the unusual things that you know, are the things that I enjoyed the most. I played with Phil Walsh up here. Walshy was just a incredibly intense, but just such a fantastic guy. You know, there were so many people over the years that you formed real bonds with. I mean, you might not see them very often now, and Harris hadn't seen Leon in probably 10 years, longer. And those connections you make are just terrific.
Scott McIver, been an absolute pleasure to reminisce about your footy journey on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Thanks for taking the time and having a chat, mate.
Mate, absolute pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
The winner goes into the preliminary final against Hawthorn next week. Bernie Quinlan tapped it down. It's McIver going long up towards Tui and Turner. But it might have been a goal, is it? Yes, a goal. Oh, it went through. They missed it completely. I thought they might have touched that. So the difference still 11 points. 12 goals, 981 Sydney. The Fitzroy, 13-14, 92.
That's the end of episode number 55. If you've missed any previous episodes, you can catch them all on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. We're on all the social media platforms, so drop us a line on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter on any particular episode you've enjoyed or a guest you would love to hear. If you would like to support the podcast, you can via the website Buy Me a Coffee. Just search the 90s Club Footy Podcast to support the podcast. Next week, we catch up with former Essendon Premiership player, Paul Barnard.
It's tough, it's rugged, it's good, solid AFL football.